We'll be reading from God's Word this morning. We'll be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 to 21, and that can be found on page 937 of the red Bibles in the seats in front of you. Before we read, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are not a distant God, but that you draw near and that you make yourself understandable to us by what you say to us in your word, the Bible. And we pray, Lord, that we will gain more understanding as we read it this morning and as we hear it preached. We pray for open hearts to hear your word. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 11. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Well, as Keith mentioned, we're having a bit of a break as we focus in on the cross, and what a wonderful thing to focus in on this morning. Let's ask God to bless us and be with us as we do that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for good news in this world, for people like us, for people who perhaps face even just massive issues, massive concerns and troubles that we can't even imagine. This good news that we think about this morning is not just for us, it's for them. It's for everyone in this whole world. And Lord, I pray that you can excite us about this good news that we have heard and heard again and again, this message that brings life from death. Please help us to see very clearly this morning how that applies to us and to allow that to transform us, to give us hope, to give us joy, to give us peace, to help us to live in love and joy and peace. And we ask all of this for your glory. Amen. All right, important question here. Hands up if you don't like getting value for money. It's the same important question. Hands up if you do like getting value for money. There you go. Not everyone's totally convinced. There's a few fence sitters. Hopefully we'll clear that up. Hands up if you've ever picked up your KFC, got all the way home, and discovered they didn't put your popcorn chicken in there. Man, how did you feel? What did you do? Thanks for asking. Well, let me tell you. Burning rage. The day I've had. I'm going to get some fast food. I feel bad about that. That seems possibly like it could be a sin in itself. So I'm going to try and work my way around. And I've paid for it after making the big decision to get it. I got all the way home. No popcorn chicken. No popcorn chicken. How did you feel? What did you do? I felt, what did I do? I phoned them up. Dad, don't do it. It's so embarrassing when you do that. Don't do it. To complain, that's why I did it. To phone them up and tell them what had happened. At which point they should try and make it good somehow. And they did. So I'm thankful for that. Now, popcorn chicken isn't really the biggest deal. But I think we can feel the same sort of things about far more serious matters. And the more serious the matters are, the bigger the deal is. The greater the seriousness of whatever the situation is, then our anger will be magnified to that extent. Our disappointment will be that size if it doesn't measure up. Our anxiety about getting a good deal or not is expanded when it's a bigger deal. And we want to get at least the value we expected. I've paid so much. Or it's cost me so much. Not just $10 and I haven't got my popcorn chicken. Perhaps hundreds of thousands of bucks or more. Maybe it's cost me my health that I've put into this thing. Maybe it's cost me my time. I put so much time into what I've been doing. And maybe it's cost me my dreams. I could have been doing other stuff. And yet I've done this. And what have I got to show for it? See, that's the question. What have I got to show for it? Now, at that point, we hope we'll have a lot to show for whatever it is. We all want value for money. We all want a good return on our investment, don't we? Because deep down, we're all Dutch. Sorry, I couldn't resist that. Deep down, we're all human. I'll gladly swap one of my kidneys, give one of my kidneys. Don't swap a kidney, do you? Give one of my kidneys so that my loved one can receive a life-giving, high-quality kidney. I will feel that need. I'll think more than twice, though, before doing that for a stranger, because I won't feel that need, that urgency, quite as much. And I'll struggle to think about that at all for whoever I judge to be maybe a bad person or an enemy, because I won't feel that need, maybe even at all. Because I don't think at some level I'll be getting a good deal. I don't think that's a good deal, however I've come to that conclusion. It seems like a bad swap. Only one person benefits, and it's not me. They get a kidney, I lose a kidney. I don't even know them. I don't even think they're any good. I want value. I want return on my investment. I want a good deal, don't you? Whatever that deal is. I want it with my popcorn chicken money, and I want it with my kidney. I want it with whatever it is. Now, hold that thought. Are you with me here? You want good deals, yeah. Okay, hold that thought. And now turn that thought round to look at a particular example. And that's what I want you now to think about. The sort of deal that God gets when he invests in people like me and you. The return he gets from his immense investment in saving people like us. In our Bible verse for this morning, we read about a swap, an exchange, if you like. It's there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it's verse 21. And it says this: God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's referring to Jesus, the one who had no sin. Our first point is this: Jesus had no sin. He was born as a human being, but was not sinful at all. He was born into actual human life, but did not sin at all. Was subject to the drawbacks and the limitations of what it means to be a human being, but did not sin. God's word is clear. It tells us that Jesus was made like us in every way. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. But without sin. Tempted in every way. Because, you know, Jesus, oh, it's good that you're perfect, but you don't know the sort of life that I live, the things that I face. No, he was tempted in every way. Hebrews 4, verse 17. But without sin. He had no sin. So if sin is represented by stains or uncleanness or something like that, his life and character and behavior were totally pure, sterile. If sin is represented by darkness, his life and character and behavior were blindingly dazzling in the intensity of its light. And you know, it's so easy to see what sin is and how bad it is when we look at Jesus. But we don't always do that, do we? We don't always see sin for what it is, because we're often not looking at Jesus, we're looking at each other. Comparing ourselves with each other and not with Jesus. Our concepts of sin then become relative. So it's all about just being better than whatever standard I've set or whoever I think I can get above. Just better. Rather than about best. Even when we chose what we knew definitely to be worse, and we knew we did that, we still have this sort of desperate reflex within us that thrashes about trying to find some one or some situation that will help us to feel better about ourselves and about this situation. To make our worse look a bit better. And we've been doing that since the very, very beginning as human beings. But Jesus came from perfect sinlessness. Jesus is perfect sinlessness. And sin is clearer to him than it ever can be to us. And how bad sin is, how horrific, how damaging, how appalling, how sickening, how destructive, how abominable sin is clear to him in a way that it's never going to be for you and me. At least not until we're in glory. And imagine that. Just imagine that thought, because there are times, we've maybe had some very recently, where we are sickened by evil that we see, where moral wrong does get to us. It does land on us. But we as fallen, sinful human beings just do not possess the capacity to respond to evil and the evil of our sin in the same way as the perfect the utterly holy, the consumingly righteous, the gloriously just, sovereign Lord God Almighty. And just one bit of sin ruins the lot. Jesus had no sin. We also struggle to see sin because it sometimes takes time to show itself and its consequences. So maybe we know what melanoma is, skin cancer, caused by UV damage, ultraviolet light damage to skin cells. And it is fearsome, isn't it? It's super aggressive. It can kill very, very quickly. As cancers go, it is perhaps the one which is easiest to guard against, the most preventable, slip, slop, slap, and so on. It has to do with this ultraviolet radiation. But people often think it's to do with heat. People think it's to do with sunny days when it's hot. But it's actually to do with whenever the sun is shining, which is how many days a year? Every single day of the year, even on cloudy days. And it's common to only become aware of it when it's too late because we just don't see the real picture of what's going on. So up on the screen there's a face of a woman. There you go. Looks like reasonable skin she's got there. Yeah? Skin looks to be in good shape. But now apply a special sort of filter that indicates the sun damage to her skin. Looks a little bit different. You wake up in the morning, you don't see the image on the left, you see the image on the right. Would that change the way that you go about your day? Probably would. Starting with sun cream, no doubt. If we saw the damage more readily, we'd take action, wouldn't we? But we forget. We don't see that damage. But that doesn't mean it's not happening. So now you've been reminded to put sunblock on, even at this time of year. But sin, selfishness, can work itself out in such subtle ways that we don't see it until a little too late, until it is too late. A little sunburn's not going to do me any harm. I can't be bothered to put sunblock on today. I'll just continue living like this so I'm not hurting anyone. Well, that's sun cream and sunburn and skin damage. That's one thing. Don't treat sin like that. And even just one tiny bit of sin ruins everything for us, damages us, has consequences. Jesus had no sin. Second point. Jesus then, who had no sin, was made sin for us. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. That is one of the most staggering statements in the Bible, and there are quite a lot. But we're thinking about this one. Let that land on you. He who was pure to a degree we cannot comprehend was made impure. And the idea is very strong here. It goes beyond saying that Jesus was merely made a sin offering, which some translations take. It goes beyond that. But it stops short of saying that Jesus became a sinner. And so in the middle, we've got Jesus, perfect, but made sin. Can you even begin to imagine this from Jesus' perspective? Because he knows how God reacts to sin. Doesn't he? This means danger. Danger. I remember certain things that me and my twin brother did that made my dad very angry and resulted in punishment. Such anger and such punishment that we would never forget. We were messing around on the roof of the local doctor's surgery. Apparently we had been seen. And a description of two identical blonde kids was more than likely to have been us in our neighbourhood. So there we go. Let's just say that when that sighting was reported to my parents and certain things happened, we didn't do that again. But for Jesus, it was taking on the guilt and so putting himself in the way of the punishment, not of Paul Wilfred Sayer, my dad, but the Lord God Almighty, his Father from all eternity, turning towards him now, not with eternal love and warmth of perfect relationship, but with the unimaginable intensity of his justice, of perfection's hatred of that which ruins perfection, which is what sin is. And so Jesus was not just taking on a bit of sin either. He was making sufficient payment by way of taking the punishment for the sins of the whole world. And so just as we might focus the heat of the sun through a magnifying glass, you know, you've done that? Intensifies it onto one particular spot. God's wrath focused in onto Jesus as he hung on the cross, as he screamed, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus, who had no sin, was made sin for us. He did it for us. Isn't that fantastic? What do we deserve? What we deserve, Jesus takes. So that we don't have to. And if you like value, and I think we all do, here's the deal. You'd have to like this, wouldn't you? But what was the value for God? What was the value for God? What is the return on this staggering investment? Well, this is the biggest surprise of the lot, really, and it's one surprise after another, isn't it, this morning? Our third point, we, who only have sin, can become the righteousness of God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God here? Well, most simply, it's being like Jesus, isn't it? Jesus is the righteous one, the one in whom there was no sin, only righteousness. He became like us so that we could become like him. So that we could stand before the holy throne of the mighty judge of the entire cosmos. Like Jesus, the holy Son of God could stand there. Unashamed, safe, and joyful. And notice, this is personal, not God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. No, it says in him we might become the righteousness of God. In him, in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. It's about relationship with Jesus. Thankfulness to God for Jesus. Loving response to God for Jesus. And so when we ask, is this a good deal for us? Well, how could it possibly be better in terms of value for what it costs us? But it's when we ask, is this a good deal for God and for Jesus, that the true magnitude of what he has done should land on us, shouldn't it? Thank God that he isn't into getting value for money. Return as such, on what he has invested, at least not in the way that we might think of that, where we weigh up whether it's worth it or not to go through with this deal. Thank God that he's not like that. Thank God that he's into love and grace, and that the humans that he's made, each one bearing his image in our very being, are the humans that he's done everything possible for in order to make it possible to be with him forever. Because of his love, he looks at you and he looks at me. And he looks at this swap, this deal that is his plan, and he says, this is the best deal ever. Not just for you and for me, but for God. God says that. Because God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. How serious are we about this deal? How thrilled are we about this deal? No thanks, God. I'm happy with my sin. I'm happy being selfish. I'm happy living for myself. I think I can make a very nice life for myself. Thank you very much. You needn't have bothered, in fact. I don't know why you even did that. Why did you do that? And we can talk to God like this as if some third party is involved, as if God is paying someone else off, buying us from somewhere else, but that's not really the case at all, is it? That is, this is God against all other hope, making a way for his own justice to be satisfied. He's effectively paying himself off. At his own unimaginable expense through giving his son Christ to die in our place. So God made him or her, you and me, who had sin, to be without sin for him. That's turning that verse around. God made him or her, that's you and me, who had sin, to be without sin for him. Because God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So there it is, folks. That's the deal. And what a deal it is. What a swap that is. So let me just wrap up with two final points. The first is an appeal. Take that deal. Take that thing. Don't leave that on the table. If you haven't already, put your trust in Jesus. Invest everything in him and his work. That big idea is this. This is what I want you to leave with, knowing this. Get the best swap ever. Your sin in exchange for Jesus' righteousness. It's like an advertising slogan, really, isn't it? It's what we want to be about. It's what we are about as a church. Get the best swap ever. Take that deal. If you want to talk more about that, that's a conversation we would love to have. Please come and speak to me or Keith or anyone you've seen up the front. That's the appeal. Take that deal. The second is an encouragement. If you have taken that deal, then meditate on that some more. Let it direct you to prioritize or reprioritize your life to invest in this thing that God is doing in this world, because this swap is what he wants to do again and again and again and again on the basis of what he's already done in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is good news. This is the best news ever. Isn't it? God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these precious words that you have recorded for us. Thank you for their immensity. Thank you for the astonishing lack of value, as it seems to us, of this deal that you have put on the table. And yet that's the deal that you want, that you desire, that you delight in, and that actually that glorifies you and shows you for the God that you are, a God of love, a God of grace, and a God of power, and a God of justice. This deal emphasizes your character. And Lord, I pray that each one of us here not only know that that deal is on the table, but feel the need, the urgent need, to take it. Lord, I pray that's everyone in this room, for your glory. Amen.